This is the September 20th chapel service. The speaker is Mr. Charles Ward.
Thank you. hymn is hymn number 236. Would you stand? We seek communion with thee. From the fret and discord of the day's business, we would now seek the quietness of thy presence. With the frustration of our failures and the shame of actions which must have greatly disappointed you, we enter to worship. From days when we have lived like sons and daughters of God, to moments when we have acted as though you did not exist, out of such paradoxical living, we have come. We come with confidence, for we know of your love and your concern for those who stumble and fall. Be gracious to us. Forgive our failures. Enhance our ability to forgive ourselves. Overshadow us with your love and your mercy. And if we fall again, may it be while we are struggling for the advance thy truth in our world. While there is much we do not understand, while darkness hides much we would want to know, even so may we be loyal to the truth we do know. When times are hard and the weak-hearted leave the place of the battle, may we here be found faithful. Recognizing that it is thy will to make use of even such weak and irresponsible human instruments in the fulfillment of thy purpose, we ask that our lives may be the channel through which some parcel of hope and love and pity may reach the lives of those nearest to us. Make us instruments of thy peace, beginning here and now, that we may serve you with the energy we have until we have no more energy with which to serve. Amen. You may be seated. It is my happy pleasure to introduce to you this morning Dr. W. Charles Ward. Dr. Ward graduated from Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. Did graduate studies at Howard University School of Religion in Washington, D.C. For the past 25 years, he has been senior minister at the First Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Dr. Ward, know that you're welcome. We have looked forward to your coming. And after the anthem, we shall hear him to our continuing profit.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bridges, President Lawley, members of the faculty and staff, students. I consider it a privilege to be able to share with you this morning on the concerns of the church, your concern and mine. I want to read a few verses from the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning at the 15th verse. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I would like to share with you then from the church. And I left myself the latitude by just calling it the church. This is the posture that it seems to me is the concern of everyone who is in ministry, in a form of ministry. But I certainly think the church might take several forms. We don't know what form God wants his church to be. I think the church takes many forms. But it seems to me that a word about what the church is not is appropriate and in order. The church is not a human structure like a political, social, or economic organism. The political, social, and economic are the concerns of the church, to be sure. But these concerns spring from a deeper motive than either or all of these together. If the church is truly the church, and if the church is about the business of being the church, these byproducts will come as a result of the church being the church. Now, the church receives its mandate from its founder and order. It receives order, it receives its mandate. In the first place, then, the church is the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, I know very often in order to identify, we say, my church. But sometimes we act as if we meant that in fact, do we not? My church, it is my church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. The passage of scripture I use as text affirms that the church is the church of Jesus Christ. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I wish to emphasize my church, or the church of the living God. The church is his church. I'm sure that I did not read, nor have I read any place, and I'm sure that I haven't read all of the descriptions of the church. But those that I have read emphasize a few facts, that it is a building of which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone or foundation, the holy temple of God or an habitation of God through Jesus Christ, its Lord, that the church is the bride of Christ. His church, then, is not built on flesh and blood. The Bible says, flesh and blood did not reveal it unto you. That flash of insight, that flash, that spark of divinity, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. And I read that all the lights of earth could not reveal the San Francisco Bay on a dark night. All the lights of earth could not reveal San Francisco Bay on a dark, dreary, rainy night. And those of you who have been there know something of what the fog and the weather can be at a night, on a given night. But a flash of lightning can reveal San Francisco Bay on a dark night. That a man standing on a hill behind Berkeley could see the bay, could see the Golden Gates, and even the edge of the ocean with one quick flash of lightning. The learning of men, the traditions of men could not discover the verities of Christ, but an answering flash in a man's soul from God can reveal the verities of Christ. And this flash from God is needed in order for man to see and to have revealed unto him his little bay of morality, so that he will know that of all the learnings that man has been able to garner, and of all of his products and byproducts, this flash from God is the only light which pierces the darkness which enshrouds his soul. Until we know, until we see Jesus as our gate, which opened the great vistas of life, we are in darkness. Someone said, a farmer says, of this seed I will gather my harvest. A builder says, of this stone and this mortar I will build a house. Christ says, of this faith, this flash of divinity, this flash of divine truth that you have had revealed through you by someone greater than you, on this I'll build my church. The faith that Jesus is the greatest gift in all the world, to all the world. His church then is built on a strong faith of weak men, men like you and me, and the first apostles and disciples, weak men, weak women like you and like me. Those of us who can say in the soul's invincible spirit, thou art Christ. And I want to leave out the definite article here. I want to leave out how. I want to leave out the definite article. Thou art Christ. You see, it seems to me, professors, students, staff, it seems to me that the definite article weakens it here. Because in a moment that you use thou art the Christ, then you, in order to strengthen it and to give to it the strength that it deserves, it seems to me you've got to add thou art the Christ, the only one and living. If you say thou art Christ, it follows. There is no other. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. There is no other. The definite article, in my opinion, is not needed here. Thou art Christ. It is implied, the one, the only Christ. If you say the Christ, it implies there are some others. I think that within the belief of the Judaic Christian church, he is the Christ, the only Christ, implicit in the statement. So thou art Christ. G.K. Chesterton writes that Jesus chooses to build his church then on weak men, because the weak man has a knowledge of Christ, and because of that Christ can make him strong. Each one of us then brings our own small gifts, and the church becomes one life, the life of Christ. One life, the life of Christ. All of my Christian life, until yesterday when I was meditating and praying on the scripture, and I have read it many a times, But all of my Christian life, until yesterday, I've drawn back from the idea of holiness as within the Christian church. I had associated it with some individuals that I knew, some churches that I knew, and I said, this isn't for me. I had associated it with the various aspects of the Holy Church or Holiness Church or Pentecostal Church as I know it. I mean, no offense to any of you who might be or associated with it. But it was only as I saw this church from the outside, I heard it to say that I have no qualms with anyone embracing any persuasion he or she wishes to embrace. I do have problems with anyone who disrespects my faith to the extent to which he insists I must be like him, that I must be like him, anyone, whether he be holiness or anyone. I grant unto him the liberty of his faith to believe. In other words, if he believes that what I believe is able to save me, go ahead, be what you profess to be. Grant unto me the right and the freedom to be what I believe deep down within my soul. For I certainly believe that our God is God big enough to save a man who believes that there is a God and tries as best he can in his limited ability to come to God. I believe God is big enough to save him. And I think this is what the framers of our Constitution were saying. I think this is what they were striving to do when they were trying to frame a Constitution, one nation under God, many facets, many divisions, Baptist, Presbyterian, what have you. I believe my God is big enough to save us all. I have embraced this, and I believe in the Baptist Church. I believe in the liberty of the Baptist Church, and I believe that I can reach my highest fulfillment through the Baptist Church. Therefore, I am a Baptist, and I believe in the tenets of the Baptist Church. As I was working on this message for this morning, I was set free then to embrace the idea of holiness. For you see, holiness carries with it the idea of holy, H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S. It came to me as a flash that it carries with it the idea of W-H-O-L-L-Y. So that when I become holy here, W-H-O-L-L-Y here, I am a chosen vessel. I am a holy vessel in his hand. When I become, you see, I don't beg for money in the church. I only tell people there is one way that I know, and that's the Bible way. And that when God owns you, he owns what you have. So that as I shared this in prayer meeting last night, and a few of those people who embrace the charismatic movement, they light it up. I said, but be careful before you get happy and start shouting. I believe that if you're holy, and I believe this, that if you are holy, then your money belongs to God. So that if you get shouting because I said, I now embrace the idea of holiness, then you come on and tithe with me. I'm holy enough to tithe. Are you? And then they got quiet. So that holiness carries with it the whole idea of I'm wholly his. In that context, then, the church is the body of Christ. So that Christ uses me to impart his truth. He uses me. He is, I am, a part of the body of Christ. Holy his, I am a chosen vessel of his. So that the Spirit of Christ, which strengthens me, serves as the fuel, the thrust, therefore, as the voice of God was power in creation. Let there be light, and there it is. Let there be a firmament, and there it is. Let there be order out of chaos, and order stood. Wherever the voice of God spoke in creation, it stood forth. That power, then being transposed into the New Testament in the Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, it is God now acting through me, acting through you, so that we separately and individually bringing our little gifts together become the body of Christ, the church. And anything short of that is not his body. The church then is the habitation of God. In the book of Ephesians, the author talks about we who were once afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Christ, and we who were strangers are being molded and fitly joined and framed, growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, I don't have but 2 minutes. Well, I was simply trying to say as I close, the Greek uses the present tense about tense and being built. They had that at present tense. And it simply means that it is in the process of being built. We have not arrived. We have not arrived. But we are becoming a part of, yet always becoming. And finally, it will be the building with one vacancy of the stone the builders rejected, becoming the capstone, the copestone, the stone they had to find before they could finish Solomon's temple. My last point was that she is the bride of Christ, and I wanted to use the expression of the wedding to share with us from the whole idea of the bride in waiting, not knowing when he's coming, which simply says she must be alert. And the whole idea of when is the darkest hour of the night? Is it just before the dawn? True, false. The darkest hour of the night is in the middle of the night. True, false. The darkest hour of the night is just before Jesus comes. The darkest hour in any man's life is just before Jesus comes. Because whenever Jesus comes, it's Christmas. It is daybreak in the life of that soul. So that the church must be in readiness, on her alert, so that whenever the call is made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, he will not catch her slumbering and asleep, but waiting, patiently waiting for her Lord. God told Hosea to go down to the red light district and marry a woman of whoredom. And he went and married her and brought her back to the parsonage. And one day she decided, I don't want to be a preacher's wife anymore. And went on back. But he loved her. And he just couldn't give her up. And one day, when she had spent all, a famine arose in her life, and somebody saw her down on the slave block, shackled. You know, that's the way you and I were. Shackled. And somebody said, Hosea, I passed the slave block the other day and I saw Gomer up for sale. And he struck out and went down there and became the highest bidder and bought her back. That's what my God did for me. That's why I love him in return. Because he loved me so much that when I was on the slave block, he bought me. And he said, Charles Ward, you're twice mine. I made you and I bought you. Thanks for letting me come. May we stand for the benediction. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for loving us and for giving us some small place to play in your scheme of things. Help us to become truly a part of your church. And now may the grace that gives us another moment to make the right decision, may the grace that gives us patience enough to be on the alert for our God strengthen you, undergird you, and guide you, and keep us all in his keeping. Amen.